Well, good afternoon, brethren, and good afternoon to everyone who might be watching on the internet. Let's start in James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. James, the brother of Jesus, commands us to warn a brother wandering away from the faith. In chapter 5, he says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." James chapter 5. Verses 19 and 20. In this verse, James was inspired to give encouragement to all brethren to rebuke and correct another brother. You see, our Father knows we will fail now and then to obey His commands because we are humans and because of Satan. As the body of Christ, we are to support each other as we strive for perfection and we strive to participate in the first resurrection. Rebuking a sinner, correcting someone in love, is not judging wrongfully. I have a question, brethren. Why is it important to rebuke and correct a brother? The answer is simple. It's because the Bible commands us to do so in Proverbs 27, verse 5. In Proverbs 27, verse 5, it says, "Open rebuke is better than secret love." The title of this message is "Open Rebuke is Better Than Secret Love." In the first section of this message, we are going to answer the question, when shall we rebuke or correct a brother? In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said, let me go back. In the first category, all of God's commands are divided into two categories. In the first category are His greatest and most important commands. And our Lord made this very clear in Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets." We're familiar with this. In these verses, Christ is referring to the Ten Commandments as the Father's greatest commands. God's least greatest and least important commands are identified in Mark chapter 12. A teacher of the law said Jesus had correctly answered the question and that love for God and one's neighbor is more important than burnt offerings and sacrifices. You see, brethren, in these verses, the Bible teaches that the Ten Commandments are more important than some of His other commands. Today, some people still think we only need to obey the Ten Commandments and neglect some of God's least important commands. like spreading our Father's word in the community, or taking care of our bodies by eating healthy foods and exercising, or being organized and neat, or being slow to anger. Let's not be fooled, brethren. Even though some of our Father's commands are less important than others, He wants us to obey all of His commands. Christ made this very clear in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, when He said to the scribes and the Pharisees, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." Matthew 23, verse 23. You see, brethren, the scribes and the Pharisees were majoring on the Father's least important commands of tithing and failed to demonstrate the more important matters of justice, mercy, and faithfulness demanded by the law. Now, brethren, let's be very clear. Jesus was not saying tithing was not important. He was saying the scribes and the Pharisees were obeying the tithing law and completely neglecting some of His more important commands. Brethren, they should have been doing both. Since they were not obeying all of our Father's commands, they needed to be rebuked and corrected. Brethren, our Father and Christ want their family to obey all of their commands. Therefore, they want us to rebuke and correct brethren who are not obeying any of their commands. Paul made this very clear in Thessalonians chapter 3. In Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul encourages us to correct brethren who are idle. Paul says, "If anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet do not count him as an enemy, but abolish him as a brother." In these verses, Paul is talking about some brethren who were idle and breaking one of God's least important commands. And yet Paul encourages the brethren to correct them. Now let's summarize the first section of this message. In this first section, the Bible has taught us or reminded us of two lessons. The first lesson is our Father's commands are divided into two categories. The first category is His greatest and most important commands, and in the second category are His least greatest and least important commands. The second lesson is this: our Father and our brother in heaven commands us to rebuke and correct brethren who are not obeying any of their commands. Now let's move to the second section of this message. In the second part of this message, we are going to review six attitudes a brother must use when rebuking or correcting another brother. Having the right attitude is very important to success. Winston Churchill said, "Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference." Now let's review the first attitude. The first attitude is we need to use wisdom. Sometimes a brother may be doing something we don't like, but there is no command or teaching in the Bible against it. Our Father wants us to rebuke and correct a brother if and only if they are involved in the behavior which is a clear disobedience to his word. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife." 2 Timothy 2, verse 23. Paul is talking about pointless issues that have no bearing on salvation or godly living. Paul also seems to be saying that it is a waste of time to discuss speculative matters where the Bible is either silent or unclear. The Bible is silent and unclear on many issues, and it's these issues that we need to use wisdom and not get into fruitless discussions. Brethren, if we must correct a brother, our target should be to help our brother grow in the knowledge and understanding of our Father's commands. Therefore, it is important that we know the Scriptures and exercise discernment and wisdom before rebuking or correcting a brother. Now, let's look at the second attitude we must use when rebuking and correcting a brother. The second attitude is, do not argue with him or her. It is very important to make sure we decide that we will not get into an argument before we go to the other brother, because the person sinning will often attack us or our motives. Paul told Timothy, "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all." 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. We need to be firm and unwavering without raising our voice, losing our temper, name-calling, or attacking. Our chances to change a brother's behavior from sinning to obedience is more successful if we do not get into an argument with them. Now let's move to the third attitude. The third attitude is to be gentle. Paul said, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Paul wants us to rebuke and correct a brother. However, he wants us to be kind and gentle. This is why Paul said, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Some people think we must always be stern when rebuking and correcting a person to be effective, but this is not true. Sometimes we may have to be stern, but most of the time we must be gentle. Now let's look at the fourth attitude. The fourth attitude is to be patient. Paul encourages us to be patient in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. He says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing one another in love, Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. Often, when you try to correct others, they will respond by attacking you. They will falsely accuse you of wrong motives, or they will bring up shortcomings in your behavior to try to divert matters away from their own sins. It is very important for us to be patient when we rebuke and correct a brother, because if we are not patient, we will lose the ability to correct them. Patience is a spirit which never gives up, for it endures to the end, even in times of adversity. When my patience runs thin when dealing with people, I think about how patient Jesus was with Judas and the other 11 apostles during their relationship. Remember, brethren, we need to just be patient. Now let's move to the fifth attitude. The fifth attitude is bold. We need to be bold. When we rebuke or correct a brother, we must have a bold attitude and not a timid attitude. Sometimes it's not easy to confront another person, and sometimes Satan will use fear to keep us from doing so. God wants us and commands us to correct and rebuke brothers. The bold attitude I speak of is found in Psalms chapter 138, verse 3. It reads, "In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul." Psalms 138, 3. The Hebrew word for bold is rahab. And according to the Word Study Dictionary, it's a verb meaning to strengthen. It indicates making a person brave or strong. It has a sense of attempting to win back brothers by pleading with them boldly. Jesus and the apostles were very bold when they rebuked and corrected people. And the Bible has many examples. On one occasion, Christ came right out and told a person they were wrong. He said, "You are mistaken because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God." Matthew 22, verse 29. Matthew 22, verse 29. On another occasion, our Lord rebuked and corrected a disciple who used his aging father as an excuse about why he could not follow Jesus at that time. According to the Bible Knowledge Commentary, this man's father was not dead or even at the point of death. This disciple was simply saying he wanted to return home and wait until his father died. His request demonstrates he felt discipleship was something he could pick up or lay down at will. This disciple put material concerns ahead of Jesus, for he apparently wanted to receive the estate when his father died. Christ rebuked him by telling him that he was as spiritually dead as his father would soon be physically dead. This story is in Luke chapter 9, verses 59 and 60. The last example is when Jesus boldly rebuked and corrected the greed and corruption of the money changers in the temple, John 2, verses 13 through 15. From these three examples, we can see the Bible indicates we are to be bold and unafraid to rebuke and correct another brother. Being bold and unafraid may turn a brother off. However, they would probably turn away anyway and be considered to be lukewarm by our Father and our Lord Jesus. You see, brethren, when people in the Bible were rebuked or corrected, they either turned away or became committed believers. Now let's move to the sixth and last attitude. The sixth attitude is this: rebuking and correcting a brother must be done with the awareness and the existence of Satan. The Bible teaches us there is a spiritual battle raging between good and evil. Paul says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Ephesians 6, verse 12. You see, brethren, when we rebuke and correct our brother, we are not fighting with our brother. We are fighting Satan and those rulers and authorities of darkness that seek to destroy our brother. Therefore, it would be unwise for us to try to rebuke and correct another brother without first praying to God and putting on the individual pieces of God's armor described in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 19. Brethren, let's summarize section 2 of this message. Having the right attitude when rebuking and correcting a brother might help them come to their senses and being saved from the snare of the devil. Therefore, let's do the right thing. Let's remember to do the following when we rebuke and correct our brother in love. Let's use wisdom. Let's do not argue. Let's be gentle. Let's be patient. Let's be bold. And let's remember the battle between good and evil. Now, brethren, this brings us to section 3. In the third section of this message, we will quickly review 3 important attitudes to look for in a brother when we rebuke and correct them. So we're looking at their attitude when we rebuke and correct them. A brother must possess all 3 of these positive attitudes, or change cannot take place. Let's look at the first positive attitude to look for in a brother we are correcting. The first attitude is to be rigorously honest. A brother needs to be rigorously honest about their behavior. Some people may be in denial, and you may have to show them what they are doing wrong from Bible scriptures. You may also have to remind them what is said in 1 John 1:6. 1 John 1:6. It says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Now let's look at the second attitude to look for in a brother when we rebuke and correct them. The second attitude is open to change. A brother needs to be open to change. They need to be teachable, open for suggestions, and not defensive or quick to attack and argue. If you try to rebuke or correct a brother and you find them not open to change, you may want to remind them that Jesus instructed them to be perfect, just as our Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. And Paul, you might want to remind him what Paul instructed. He instructed them to have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. That's in Philippians 2, verse 5 in the NIV. Now let's look at the third attitude a brother must have when we rebuke or correct him. The third and final attitude is willingness to change. A brother needs to be willing to change. They need to be willing to give up unrighteous behaviors and replace them with righteous behaviors. No change can occur unless a person is willing to change. Sure, a person can be open to change, but not willing to change. A person must be open and willing to change. If a brother says it's too hard to change, then remind them what God said when he's in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, when he said, "With God all things are possible." If a brother is afraid to change, then encourage them with scriptures from the Bible like Joshua 1:9 or John 14:27 or 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 6 and 7. These are encouraging scriptures. If a brother has an addiction, we can offer to help them find support groups in the community, producing successful outcomes. You might even ask them if they are willing to change. If they say no, then they do not have a positive attitude. And a bad attitude is like a flat tire. A person cannot go anywhere until they change it. Brethren, let's summarize section 3 of this message. The three attitudes to look for in a brother when we rebuke and correct them are: a brother needs to be honest about their behavior, they need to be open to change, and they need to be willing to change. If we do not find all three of these attitudes in a person after following the instructions on discipline outlined in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20, the only things we can do is to pray for them and to seek counsel with a professional counselor or our pastor. Let's conclude, brethren. In this message, today we reviewed three things. The first was when we are to rebuke and correct a brother. The second was the attitudes we should have when we rebuke and correct a brother. And the third was the attitudes to look for in a brother when we rebuke and correct them. Brethren, we are all members of the same body, and we all have the same goal. That goal is to strive for perfection as our Father is perfect, to obey all of his commands, and to qualify to be in the first resurrection. Therefore, if we have genuine love for all of our brothers, we can help them work towards this goal by rebuking and correcting them when needed. We are reminded by 1 John chapter 4, verse 21, 1 John chapter 4, verse 21, that we have this command: he who loves God must love his brother also. The most effective correction takes place when the other person knows that we love them and we want the best for them. If we do not show genuine concern for our brother, they will probably not accept the commands of God we are trying to share with them. Remember, we correct our brothers because we love them and not because we are judgmental and prideful. Brethren, let's do the right thing. Let's obey our Father's command, and let's demonstrate to him that we love our brothers by rebuking and correcting them when they need it. Remember, brethren, open rebuke is better than secret love.